Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
So today in this fourth part of Cool United, I'm going to read to you once again a verse that I've been reading now. For now, this is the fourth week, and it's Acts 4, 32 through 35. It'll come up on the screens if it's not already there. And it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. This is such a beautiful passage. And this is where we land today. It says, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy persons among them. What a verse. God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to anyone who had a need. Today, if you're taking notes in this fourth part of this series, Cool United, the message is simple. And if you were here for worship, you probably already caught the message title. It's Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. That is amazing. God, had it not been for your grace, none of us would be here right now. For God, there's people in this room that have no idea how they got here or why they're here, but God, you already knew before the earth began to spin on its axis that they would be here. And I pray that hearts, minds, and ears would be open to a message about Jesus, because it's the only message I got. It's the only message I'm ever have, because it's the only message that can change people. I can tell them about how to help themselves. I can give them practical wisdom and information to live a better life, but none of those things will do what Jesus has already done. God, we thank you. Praise you. I pray that I would lie down as you rise up. Don't let these words be my own, but let them come directly from your throne room of grace. I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody sit. Everybody sit. Somebody give Jesus one more shout of praise. Today we're talking about grace. And grace is a small five-letter word that packs a lot of punch. I don't have time. Matter of fact, I have 27 minutes and 37 seconds. I don't have enough time to unpack all that grace has to offer for you. But in these moments that we have together, I want to show you a couple of sides of grace that I believe can truly be beneficial to your life. And if I had to really think about the simplest way to describe grace, there's one word that I would attach to it. And if you want to think about the word grace, I would ask you to associate it with this other word called favor. Grace, the simplest definition I can give you, is favor. Some of you say, well, what's favor? You ever just had good things happen and you didn't know why they happened? That's just favor, man. Like, I love favor. How many of y'all, like, you were at, you were putting some money in the vending machine, maybe. And if you put the money in the vending machine, you know, sometimes the vending machines be demon-possessed. And you put the money in and it takes your money. Sometimes it's like that. But there's those times where you got favor on your life. And you put a quarter in the vending machine. And when you select E4 for the Doritos, not one bag of Doritos drops out. Because you got favor, two bags of Doritos drop out in the name of Jesus. It's favor. Or maybe you got times in your life where, you know, the holiday season comes in South Florida and everybody's shopping, especially Christmas time. And every mall you go to, Pembroke Lakes, Aventura, Sawgrass, you are hustling for a parking spot and you driving around. It's funny, like, people won't pray for serious stuff, but they will pray for a parking spot. You're driving around. In the name of Jesus, I bind every demon in hell right now, Lord, for you to please open up a spot in the front in the name of Jesus. and you driving and you whipping it and you watching where people walking, like you point, hey, you park there? You following people to their cars so that one spot will open up, and you prayed as hard as you could pray. You were sweating. You spoke in tongues, bought a Hyundai, should have bought a Honda, and eventually you whip around that corner, and when you get there, it's that one spot in the front, and you see somebody on the other side trying to get it, so you hit your accelerator fast as you can, and you whip in that spot, and you say, thank you, Jesus. Is that just me? I want to see where the saints are this morning. Or maybe you have those times where you go to the grocery store and you know you need this one item. And if you could just get this one item, you just want to get in and get out. And you look on the shelf and you only see one of that item left. Oh, my goodness. This happened to me the other week. Last week, I was having a gathering at my house and I went to one of my favorite grocery stores, Publix. And it's not that Publix even gives you the best prices. Publix has this thing that I do not enjoy much, but people, they have told me how amazing it is. They got this thing called Publix chicken. And this Publix fried chicken, I have seen wars start in Publix over this chicken. Especially the hot and spicy wings. See, y'all know what I'm talking about. Somebody just raised his hands like, can I get a witness? I went the other day to get some of this chicken for this little gathering I was having in my house, and I beeline, because right after work, that's when all the chicken starts to fly. And man, I went and I saw that chicken from the corner of my eye, and I saw some other people looking at that chicken, and I had Baba with me, and I said, Baba, come on, and I pushed that cart as fast as I could push that cart, and I saw the chicken, and when I saw the chicken, I extended my hand in the name of Jesus, and I swiped the chicken, and I put the chicken in my cart, and I could see and feel the stares looking back on me because I took the last bag of hot and spicy chicken. And I knew they was mad because as soon as I grabbed it, they looked at the person that makes the chicken behind the register, and they was like, excuse me, when y'all gonna get some more Publix chicken? And the answer that they gave was probably the worst answer they could give. They said, excuse me, ma'am, we won't have another bit of Publix chicken for the next 25 to 30 minutes. Instantly, I felt all the hate in the world gaze back at me. And as I felt the stare, like, I couldn't even look back. I just felt the stares. Me and Baba threw up peace signs. I pushed my cart. I looked back and I said, favor ain't fair. I love favor, man. Because it ain't fair. It's just goodness just happening to you. Anybody ever experience some favor in this place? I love favor because if you look at favor biblically, there's a few different versions of favor that I want to talk about. Two in specific today, if you're taking notes. What if I told you that there was natural favor and supernatural favor? It's two kinds of favor out there. Look at what Proverbs 3, verses 3 through 4 says. It says, I love this, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, he wrote this. He says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and men. What was Solomon saying here? Hey, if you allow love and faithfulness to become a part of you, if it's a part of you, it's going to come out of you. And when people see that love and they see that faithfulness on you, guess what? You are going to win their favor. People will give you favor because your natural expression is love and faithfulness. But I love what it says. It says you will gain favor with God and man. When I read my Bible, I love to listen out for things that I hear in multiple places in the Bible. It's one of the things that you should do when you're reading your Bible. Look for when God repeats stuff. I like to say this, God has a stuttering problem. He's gonna repeat himself until you get the message. He says, and you will favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Where have I heard that before? Well, I know where I've heard it, in Luke 2, 52. There's a few other places, but it says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature in favor with God and man. Favor with God and man. Now, this is an interesting verse to me because it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature in favor with God and man. Wasn't Jesus God? So how did he grow? He was God. This is not the God that doesn't know all things. This is the God that knows all things. So how is a God that knows all things growing in wisdom? You read that. Here's the thing. When you read the Bible, you have to ask yourself the right questions if you want to get the right revelation. How is a God that knows everything growing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man? It actually shows God's true power that he was allowing himself to grow. What are you talking about? This is why you need to love God. Only a humble God would contain his power to show us how to live as human beings. God put on a man suit and took all of his cosmic energy and power, all of his creating power, and wrapped it in flesh and allowed himself to grow as a normal human would. You're not getting it. God is showing us his real power in restraint. Here's how I know. Because I understand human nature, because I am one. When I have power, humans don't like to hold in the power that they have. When you know something good, most of us can't even keep secrets. When you got something so good on the inside of you, human nature is you want everybody to know about it. I know me. This is why I would be a terrible God. Because if I was God and I walked around knowing I was God, I ain't growing in nothing. I ain't coming down here as a baby in a manger. I'm coming down with a crown. I'm telling everybody to watch the throne because I own the throne. I'm telling you, if it was me, this is why I would be a bad God. Jesus was such an amazing God because he was able to contain himself in a human package. If it was me, though, I'd have been like, you took my chicken? Zap. Like, I'm bringing lightning down on everybody. You saw me here waiting for this parking spot, and you just, boom, car explodes. I would be a bad God because I would not be able to contain all of my godness in my human self. But God is a great God because he shows us the true essence of his power, because even in restraint, we get to see the fullness of who he is. God is a powerful God, but he's not just a powerful God. He's a humble enough God to show us what human being a human should look like. So he contains himself in this form of a man named Jesus. And he walks on the earth, and he's so good at keeping secrets because he could have let the cat out the bag so many times. He's very careful because he gives us small expressions of his power to let us know that he is different, but he contains enough of himself so that we would not know that he was actually God. How beautiful is this picture? I love God. I love Jesus because he was humble enough to grow in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and man. The Bible tells us that God, Jesus, grew in favor. Because there's multiple favors that I want to tell you about. The reason that Jesus grew in favor was exactly the same way that we need to grow in favor. He grew in favor not just with God, he grew in favor with man through his actions. Jesus had to act it out. Listen, Jesus, if he was here, he'd be really likable. You would like him a lot. You know why? Because he would always be doing things for you. And you would love him. So people like you when you do things for them. Two kinds of favor I want you to write down, and I want you to get this. One is natural favor. Favor with man. What you've done
can get you favor with man. What you've done can get you favor with man. Let's read the verse again. Acts 4:33 says, and God's grace, that's the word we're going to dissect today, was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. This is a verse of all verses. God's grace was so powerfully at work that there was no needy among them. Could you imagine if grace was at work so that no one was poor? How beautiful of a church would that really look like? I love what Albert Barnes, the famous theologian, says. I read many of his commentaries, and he looks at that word grace. He says, and the grace, and he stops there. And he says, yes, grace can be taken as an expression of the power of God that is put on the apostles, or it can be looked at like this. He believes that the apostles, the disciples, they receive grace and there was no needy among them. He believes that they receive grace because of their benevolence. So what are you talking about? Because they help people, because they took care of the poor, because they made sure that there were no needy among them, the people that they helped were more open and receptive to receiving the gospel because they helped them first. How much would the church change if we were not trying to ram the message of Jesus's the message of Jesus down people's throat without helping them first? It's easy. Jesus is more palatable when we have done the work of helping people. And when we have done the work of helping people, we receive favor / grace with man. This is why verses like Romans 2:4 exist that say it is the kindness of the Lord that leads men to repentance. It is not the wickedness of God that leads men to repentance. It is not the selfishness of God that leads men to repentance. It is his kindness. He is trying to tell us that as humans, if our actions are not out of love, create out of love, then our actions will not draw anybody to Jesus. We have to begin to act this thing out. It's not just good enough to come on Sundays and say amen and shout hallelujah, but then you go outside and live like the devil and expect people to respect the same Jesus that you talked about. Because they took care of the needs of the people, they found favor with man so that they could preach the gospel. Why do you think everywhere Jesus went, he was always healing people? Why do you think everywhere that Jesus went, when we read about him in the scriptures, he was feeding people? Jesus, if you look at him, everywhere that he went, this is God. He could have snapped his fingers and everything could have been fixed. But you know what? Because he was all God and all man, he wanted you to see him doing work. Because if you could see him doing work, you would be more receptive to what he had to say. This is why we see him time after time, miracle after miracle. I love reading the book of Mark. It's like the action gospel. It looks like a movie if you read it the right way, because you just see Jesus going from place to place, doing thing to thing, miracle after miracle, and people are changed because of it. And so many people are added into the kingdom in that moment because they saw what he did before he said what he had to say. Jesus, I love it. In scriptures where it says, feeling compassion on them, Jesus fed the 5,000. He fed them before he ministered to them. The disciples wanted to send them home. He says, no, you give them something to eat. God is always challenging us to bless people with what we have in our hand before we can bless them with the heaven that we have to offer. Jesus always went around doing things. And it's funny because some of us wonder why we have no favor when we deliver the gospel. Like, some people have tried to deliver the gospel to people and they had a non-favorable situation, so they don't try to deliver the gospel anymore. And you wonder why. Well, I can tell you why. How are you going to find favor with your neighbor that you've never said hello to. Now, you want to talk to them about Jesus, but you've never just talked. How you going to find favor with somebody who's hungry? Like, I love people. I think people have the best intentions and the best heart. There's been times where I go out and, you know, it's like, oh, let's go to the homeless and tell them about Jesus. They can't hear Jesus because all they hear is their starving stomach. Feed them first. You cannot force feed the gospel when you have not physically fed the person. It trips me out, right? Because how do we expect anybody to listen to a message about Jesus and find favor in that message when they haven't seen anything that is remotely recognizable to who Jesus is in you? Your actions must always speak louder than your words as a believer. See, grace must be, I love the verse because it's specific in what it says. It says, and God's grace was so powerfully at work. Stop. Your grace must work for it to work. If you don't work, grace won't work. We have to actually work. That's why it says God's grace was so powerful. See, the result of our gratitude in Christ saving us should cause us to get our boots on the ground and work. Should cause us to work because we know about this amazing grace, how sweet the sound to save the wretch. Like, grace should put you to work, and that work should be felt by others. See, what I found is that I know people who have prayed for favor, but they haven't acted in a favorable manner. You say, what you talking about? Well, you want to find favor in a godly mate, but everywhere you look for a mate is an ungodly place. You want the favor and the blessing, but you're not doing things that are favorable. You want the favor of your marriage to work well, but you won't do the practical thing, which is try to compromise with your spouse and wonder why you don't have favor in your marriage. You just want to see things your way, never their way. You never want to meet in the middle, and you wonder why there's no favor in your marriage. Or maybe you want to find favor in your line of employment. Maybe you want to find favor in looking for a job, but you get mad when you've only put in one resume and you didn't get the job, and there's 1,000 other people that have put in 100 different resumes and they got the job over you. How are you going to find favor in that circumstance when you haven't done anything favorable? Oh, no, I didn't get the job. Because you tried one time. It's the same thing when you're already in the position. You want to find favor in your career when you show up late, you leave early, you got an attitude with your boss, and then you get mad when somebody else has the promotion over you when they're there killing themselves all day. You want the favor, but you haven't acted favorably. It doesn't make any sense. You have to put in what you want to get out. There's people right now, and I know, and I'm just being real, I gotta tell the truth, because the Bible is grace and truth. You want favor in your health. You want a favorable report from the doctor, but for the last 15 years, you've destroyed your body with what you've put in it. But now you want the healthy report. Now you want it. When you've been sucking back tobacco your entire life, now you want it. Listen, the Bible says nothing about smoking, so you can smoke and get to heaven. You'll just get there faster than me. I'm just telling you, don't be mad. Don't be mad when you have an unfavorable outcome, when you haven't acted favorably. You have to do the things. You have to put things into practice if you want the right results. Don't expect for favor to come when you have not acted favorably. God will grace you with favor with man when you are willing to put in the work. Because here's the thing, man. God's goodwill will always be accompanied by God's good work. But it's not just favor with man that we talk about. And as the band comes up, I'm almost done. I'm fine with favor with man. I like that. That is good because I believe integrity and I believe my name means something. So I'm going to invest in life properly so I get a proper return so that my name, when I'm gone, will mean something for my wife, will mean something for my daughter, will mean something for my children's children. So I'm going to invest to get some earthly favor. But more than earthly favor, I need God's favor. I need God's favor, supernatural favor. It's favor with God. See, our natural favor can come from what we did, but supernatural favor can only come from what Jesus did. Can only come from what he did. Let's look at the verse one more time. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. Let's go right back to that word grace. What a beautiful word. What a powerful word. Five letters that means something that is so expansive. Acts 4 talks about, and we already talked about it, this favor, that this grace that the disciples had with man because they helped them first. When you help man, you get favor, you get grace with man. But here's the thing. They didn't just get grace and favor with man so that they would be blessed. They got grace and favor with man so they could now give back the grace and favor that was given to them by God. They got grace and favor to point to the only grace and favor that actually matters. And it's not just grace. It's amazing. It's amazing grace. But there's nothing in this world that you can do to earn it. You can't do enough good deeds to get this kind of favor. You can't perform enough good actions to get this type of favor. It's been written about the word grace that in context to the Bible, most theologians believe that grace is a more important word in the Bible than love. You know why? Because love helps define grace, because grace is love in action. Love in action. There's a compassionate component to it. Grace is love in action. I love what J.H. Jowett said. He said that grace is God's holy love on the move. Grace is God's holy love on the move. Isn't that a picture of Jesus? Love on the move? Read your Bible. You ever saw Jesus sitting still anywhere? No. He went from house to house. He went from place to place. And everywhere he went, he loved on somebody. Jesus was the walking, talking, physical manifestation of love on the move. I love Jesus, and I love that thought of love on the move because amazing things happen when love is on the move. Widows and orphans get taken care of when love is on the move. Families get back together when love is on the move. We see blind eyes open and lame people walk when love is on the move. Nobody's hungry. People get fed when love is on the move. Dead dreams that you may have will come back to life when love is on the move. See, people move when they saw Jesus move because they knew that wherever he went, love would follow. Love, when love is on the move, anything could happen. When love is on the move, that's when we see cities change. When love is on the move, it transcends our politics. When love is on the move, it transcends our culture. When love is on the move, it transcends our languages. When love is on the move, it transcends our actions, because love is the greatest act of all. Anything can happen when love is on the move. And I love that grace encapsulates love, because that word grace, once again, it has so much meaning. I don't have time to tell you, but in the Greek, the word for grace is pronounced charos. It's actually spelled with a ch. It should sound like charos, but it's pronounced charis. And that word has more definitions than I have time to tell you. It has a definition of power. That's why when it talks about the Holy Ghost, you always see that word grace next to it, because grace is also an expression of God's power. Grace definitely means favor. We talked about that, but there's another definition of grace that I love. and that this word charis, which is right here in this passage, it alludes to, because it doesn't just mean one thing, because it's in this passage, it means many things. You know the other thing that is defined by grace in this passage? When it says charis, it's another word, gift. Grace is not just God's favor. Grace is God's gift. And there's no amount of good works that your character can perform to receive this amazing grace gift of God. It can only be received by you after it has been gifted to you. It's only through what Jesus did that we all have access to this beautiful, amazing grace, this gift that God has for all of us. And you know, you want to know the truth about this gift? It's free, but it ain't cheap. This gift of grace is completely free to all of us, but a price had to be paid for it. Ain't cheap. So what do you mean? You ever receive something from somebody? You ever get a gift? I love my dad. He's here today. Love you, Pop. He's one of the most generous people on the planet. Literally, will give you the shirt off his back if he knows that you don't have a shirt, because he walks out the gospel before he talks out the gospel. But my dad, he's always like giving me stuff, especially when it's my birthday. I like gifts, you know. If you do the love language test, like, I'm like gifts, like give me stuff, like I like stuff. My dad gives me stuff, and I like jewelry. I like to wear jewelry. I do not like to buy jewelry. You know what I'm talking about? I like to wear it. I love it. Got my chain, got my, I love to wear it. I don't like to buy it. As a matter of fact, for as long as I've lived, for these 37 years of planning, I've never bought one piece of jewelry. Every bit of jewelry that I have, it always comes from my father. My dad always gives it to me. And I receive it in Jesus' name. When people give me gifts, I receive this gift. And I never forget when I got this gift. People always ask me, hey man, that's a nice, it's a nice chain. Like, what is that? And I explain what it is, and then they say, where'd you get it? And I puff out my chest in pride. I say, Dad gave it to me. My dad gave me this gift. Yeah, I see you wearing a lot. It's like you don't take it off. I don't. Because my dad gave it to me. You see, what you have to understand is this gift for me was free, wasn't cheap. So how you know that? I've watched my dad work my entire life. I watched him sweat overtime, blood, sweat, and tears at a job for years in order to make sure we always have food on the table, to make sure that we always had what we needed, to make sure we always had a roof over our head. So anything that my dad buys, I know he earned it. I know he worked really hard for it. And he bought it because something that he wanted. And I feel favored as his son because I know the work that he put into getting the things that he has. Where I feel favored as his son is that I get the blessing of all of his hard work. I get to walk around with his sweat right here. I get to walk around with his tears right here. I get to walk around with his blood. Oh, y'all don't hear me today. Right here. Say, why am I proud? It's because I know what he did for me to have it. I know what he did. I know what it's worth. And he was willing to do it. And he was willing to give it to me.
because I found favor. I found favor with my Father. I don't know if you're getting it today, but the only reason I have access to something that he put in all the work for is because I found favor in his eyes. I found grace. I found favor so I could receive a gift that I did not earn from my Father. There is a price that you and I will never have to pay for the gift that our Father wants to give us. It makes me sad when I see believers that are not walking around proud about the gift because they don't acknowledge what God had to do for you to have it. You should walk around with your chin up, your head back and your shoulders back, your head held high because you are walking, talking royalty, not because you did something to earn it, but because somebody else did something for you to have it. The very word grace, here's an easy way to remember it. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. We have access to this gift of God riches at Christ's expense. And you may be in this place today, and you may want the favor of grace, but the truth is, you need the gift of grace. Because the favor of grace is good, but the gift of grace, it's amazing. And you say, well, Pastor Terrence, I hear you, man. I want that gift, but you don't know me. You don't know what I've done before I walked in here. I'm here to tell you. I'm here to alleviate your fears. I'm here to alleviate your concerns. You think you're a sinner? You're looking at the biggest one in the room right here. And I still have access to this gift called grace because my Father worked for it. But because I found favor in his eyes, I can walk proudly in it. It does not matter what you have done. It does not matter where you come from. You can't earn it. You can only receive it. It is called the grace of God. And his grace is amazing. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, who's blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. Our God's grace, it's amazing. There's nothing you can do to earn it. All you can do today is receive a grace that's amazing. I don't know who I'm talking to, but with every head bowed and every eye closed.
Wow, what a message. Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.